Welcome to another edition of We Need to Talk About Movies. Brought to you by BanterFlix.com. And now, here's your host, Jim McClain.
Hello, hello, hello. Yes, I am your host, Jim McClain. Welcome to the latest episode of We Need to Talk About Movies. I am your host, Jim McClain, the editor-in-chief of the BanterFlix Movie Review website. This is a rather short episode this week, and you're only going to hear from me in this little introduction, as I'm handing over to our resident Disney queen, local writer Victoria Brown, as she's going to talk to you about a Disney-themed series of podcasts that we're going to be working on over the rest of this year and probably into 2021, as we take a look back at some of the older animated Disney classics. We'll be kicking off in a few weeks with The Aristocrats. I'll be joined by Victoria and Aristocrats superfan Harriet Budd. You've got that to look forward to, but for now, I'm going to hand over to Victoria.
Hello and welcome to the first episode of the We Need to Talk About Movies Disney miniseries. If you don't know me, my name is Victoria and I have been granted the title of BanterFlix's resident Disney queen. Six-year-old me would be very, very happy right now. She wouldn't know what a podcast is, but I'm sure she'd be very supportive nonetheless. This is just a wee introductory episode, a bit of a guide, to give you guys a wee bit of context on what we will be focusing on for this miniseries, which is the Disney Dark Age. Disney's Dark Age is the fourth Disney era, or era, whatever way you choose to pronounce it, which was preceded by the Golden Age of the 1930s and early 40s, the wartime era of, you guessed it, the span of World War II, and the Silver Age of the 1950s and early 1960s. There's a wee bit of a dispute among Disney fans that there was a Bronze Era before the Dark Age, which roughly encompasses the late 1960s and early 1970s. But we'll get into that later. Regardless of when the Dark Age started, it definitely ended in 1989 with the release of The Little Mermaid. The Little Mermaid jump-started the Disney Renaissance of the late 80s and early 90s, the following post-Renaissance of the noughties, and the modern revival era that we are in now. I will not be covering every minute detail of the Disney Studios because we would be here for literally forever. Before we get into this, I want to say two things. Firstly, I am under no illusion that Walt Disney or the Walt Disney Company is perfect. I know that Walt himself was a racist, he was misogynistic and was anti-Semitic. The attitudes and opinions that he and his contemporaries had were wrong then and they're wrong now. Historical context can only count for so much. The company itself is also, to put it nicely, the perfect example of a greedy capitalist system. I do not believe that we can or should ignore these facts, but nor do I think that they should taint our love and memories of the films they've made. Secondly, I want to say a massive thank you to the BanterFlix team, especially Jim, for trusting me with this. I absolutely adore Disney, and having the chance to do this means the absolute world to me. The past few months have been very difficult for everybody in a lot of different ways, and I'm sure our listeners are just as thankful as I am for having BanterFlix here to ease the boredom. The team have been making some really great podcast episodes these last few months. I highly recommend checking them out, especially some of our recent ones looking at Tenant, which is... see it for yourself and make up your mind. And some of our other episodes looking at classics such as Jaws, Silence of the Lambs and The Lost Boys. Alright, let's get into this. To start things off, here's a wee audio clip to get that Disney nostalgia going. I should note that I'm not a sound editor, so if some of these clips are a bit rough around the edges, I do sincerely apologise. Anyone else got that warm, fuzzy feeling in your stomach? That sound pretty much sums up my entire childhood. The Walt Disney Animation Studios began as the Disney Brothers Cartoon Studio in 1923 in Los Angeles. It was founded by Walt Disney and his older brother Roy. Their work in the early years was a combination of live action and animated productions. They spent a great deal of time on shorts inspired by Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland. These silent shorts were called Alice Comedies, and they followed a live-action Alice as she made her way through an imaginative world of animation. The main animation-only project was Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, who bears a striking resemblance to Mickey Mouse. These works brought in a good bit of money for the brothers, so Walt and Roy were able to move to a better studio space in the Silver Lake area of California. The studio was renamed Walt Disney Pictures in 1926. I'm not sure how Roy felt about this, but I'm assuming he was okay with it. Once they had established themselves, the studio began working on cartoons starring the now iconic Mickey Mouse. He was originally named Mortimer Mouse, but Walt's wife Lillian convinced him to change it, thank God. The third Mickey Mouse cartoon, one of the earliest and most famous cartoons that you're probably familiar with, is Steamboat Willie, in which Mickey captains a steamboat and fights the villainous Pete. If you can't remember what it is, I'm sure you've at least heard this very famous whistle. Steamboat Willie was not only groundbreaking for its technical innovation, but it was also the first ever synchronous sound cartoon. That is so impressive, considering that the first synchronous sound live-action film, The Jazz Singer, had only been released a year previously in 1927. After this, the Disney studio spent a great deal of time experimenting with their art style through their Silly Symphony short, which are well worth a watch. I think most of them are on Disney Plus, but if you can't find them, they're probably on YouTube. These successes in artistic and technical innovation provided the Walt Disney Studios not only with a decent budget, but also confidence, which inspired them to attempt the first ever feature-length animation, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Someday my prince will come.
As I live and breathe, a fairy.
Geppetto wished for a real boy.
Am I a real boy?
Is it possible?
Isn't there some mistake?
Just look at those E-A-R-S.
Those what? Oh, ears! I'm thumping. That's why they call me Thumper.
Snow White marks the beginning of Disney's Golden Age, the first era, which officially started in 1937. According to Amy Davis, a Disney scholar, which is just a dream job, Walt felt that his studio was ready, both financially and commercially, to undertake such a challenge, and that his animators were, by now, more than capable of meeting the technical and artistic demands that such a project would involve. People thought Walt was absolutely mad. Critics and other filmmakers thought he was wasting his time because nobody would sit through a cartoon that was over an hour long. But wow, were they wrong. Snow White became, and remains, one of the highest grossing films of all time. It grossed over $8 million on its initial release, which was unheard of in the 1930s. Snow White was followed by Pinocchio and Fantasia in 1940, Dumbo in 1941, and Bambi in 1942. These films were known among the locals as tar and sugar films for their dark but sweet storylines and art styles. Although they didn't make as much money as Snow White, especially the very experimental Fantasia, they cemented the Walt Disney Studios' positions as pioneers of animated storytelling. The second Disney era spans 1942 to 1949 and is known as the wartime era.
Three caballeros, three gay caballeros, they say we are birds of a feather.
Take my music. Full of fun and fancy free, that's the way I want to be. I don't let my troubles trouble me.
Dar-o-ra, dar-o-ra.
Melody time.
what's his name?
Ichabod. Ichabod Crane.
Ichabod, what a name.
Kind of odd.
But nice just the same.
The war was a very difficult time for filmmakers. Money was understandably being redirected into the war effort, and therefore there was very little left for the arts. While Disney did spend some time making wartime propaganda films, they also made an effort to produce animated features. These were Saludos Amigos in 1942, hope I pronounced that right, The Three Caballeros in 1944, Make My Music in 1946, Fun and Fancy Free in 1947, Melody Time in 1948, and the Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad in 1949. These were low-budget package films composed of different shorts and bridged by live-action sequences. They're not bad, but they're not particularly good either. They're alright. My sisters and I actually had Fun and Fancy Free on VHS, and I have no idea how my mum and dad found it. It's one of the better ones, and it features one of my favourite Disney characters, Jiminy Cricket. If you've ever seen the Mickey Mouse version of Jack and the Beanstalk, that's where that comes from. The infamous Song of the South was also made in the 40s. We will not be covering it in this series because it's beyond our scope, but if you are interested in the background of this very controversial film, the podcast You Must Remember This has a great mini-series about it. The era after the war, spanning 1950 to 1967, is classic Disney, the Silver Age.
There's to be a ball.
A ball?
In honor of His Highness, the Prince.
Oh, the Prince!
And by royal command, every eligible maiden is to attend.
Why, that's us!
And I'm so eligible.
Why, that means I can go too. It's just a rabbit with a waistcoat. And a watch.
Oh, my dear Whiskies, a maid.
Now, this is curious.
You think of a wonderful thought.
Any happy little thoughts?
Uh-huh.
Like toys at Christmas, sleigh bells, snow?
Yep.
He's a tramp, but they love him. Breaks a new heart every day.
I know you. I walked with you once upon.
That's it.
Cruella de Vil, Cruella de Vil. If she doesn't scare you, no evil thing will.
Oh,
to
Roger.
See her is to take a sudden chill.
Oh.
Cruella.
Oh, what a perfect stuffed owl.
I beg your pardon?
He's alive, and he talks.
And certainly a great deal better than you do.
Oh, boy, I've seen everything in these woods.
This era reinvigorated Disney with the release of Cinderella in 1950. Having returned to the fairy tale format for which they were now associated with, Cinderella absolutely killed at the box office. And thank God it made a profit because it cost over $3 million to make. Its success enabled the company to make some of the now beloved classics such as Alice in Wonderland in 1951, Peter Pan in 1953, Lady and the Tramp in 1955, Sleeping Beauty in 1959, 101 Dalmatians in 1961, The Sword and the Stone in 1963, and The Jungle Book in 1967. Three of my personal top five were produced in this era. See if you can guess which ones they are. Remember when I mentioned that there was a dispute among Disney fans about a Bronze Age before the Dark Age? This is where it starts. In the 1950s, Walt became preoccupied with television, live-action feature films and his theme parks, which meant that he was having less creative input and leaving the important decisions to others. Sleeping Beauty cost a whopping $6 million to make and it lost a lot of money. The studios were on the verge of bankruptcy. The making of the film itself was wrought with tension because Walter brought in a new animator out of nowhere that nobody was familiar with. He was very eccentric, he had very specific tastes, and the Disney animators found it very, very difficult and incredibly stressful to commit to the vision he had in mind. Disney was absolutely hemorrhaging money after Sleeping Beauty, and to cut corners, they began to use Xeroxing. Xeroxing is basically just photocopying, which meant that the animators didn't have to draw everything from scratch every time. The first film to use it was 101 Dalmatians in 1961. If you've ever noticed why all the puppies look exactly the same, That's why. I personally don't understand the complexities of the animation process, but I do know that in order for early Xeroxing technology to work properly, the backgrounds had to be less defined. So unlike Sleeping Beauty, where everything is clearly defined and everything is equal, 101 Dalmatians backgrounds are lighter, less defined, and use more watercolour styles so that the photocopied characters stand out more. For some Disney fans, 101 Dalmatians marks the start of a decline in artistic quality in Disney films. This brings us to the focus of our mini-series, the Disney Dark Age.
Every truly cultured music student knows you must learn your scales and your arpeggios.
Oh, for heaven's sake, son, you're no outlaw. Why, someday you'll be called a great hero.
A hero? Did you hear that, Johnny? We've just been pardoned.
Hum-dum-dee-dum, hum-dum-dee-dum. I'm so rumbly in my tumbly. Ooh. Time to munch an early luncheon. Hum-dee-dum-dum-dum.
Bonjour, Bernard.
Good day, sir. Good day, Mr. Ambassador.
Dobro.
How do you do, madam?
Danke gut, Bernhard.
Legend has it, in the mystic land of Verdane, there was once a king so cruel and so evil that even the gods feared him. Since no prison could hold him, he was thrown alive into a crucible of molten iron. There his demonic spirit was captured in the form of a great black cauldron.
Say that the words are written with a broad pointed quill pen, which is spattered twice. That the paper is of native Mongolian manufacture, no watermark, and has been gummed, if I'm not very much in error, by a bat who has been drinking rodent's delight.
Bless my soul. Wait. It's a baby fox.
Oh, you want to practice too?
The Disney Dark Age spans from 1970 to 1988. Its films include The Aristocats in 1970, Robin Hood in 1973, The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh and the Rescuers in 1977, The Fox and the Hound in 1981, The Infamous Black Cauldron in 1985, The Great Mouse Detective in 1986, and Oliver and Company in 1988. It is an era defined not only by its lower quality art style and focus on profit just to stay afloat, but also by the lack of a guiding hand. Walt Disney died in 1966, the last film he personally worked on being The Jungle Book, and his brother Roy passed away in 1971. The animators felt lost without them. They had already expressed disappointment in having to use xerography, feeling like their artistic skills were being compromised or less valued, and now they had lost their two patriarchs. The studio itself was also in a transition of change. Many of the original animators from the studio's early years, known as the Nine Old Men, who perfected the distinctive Disney style, were retiring, and other animators were fleeing what they saw as a sinking ship. One of Disney's best animators, Don Bluth, left and took many of the animators with him to found Don Bluth Productions, which became one of Disney's main competitors with films such as The Land Before Time and All Dogs Go to Heaven. Without clear leadership, the films produced during this era arguably lacked that Disney magic that they had been so well known for. It was not until 1989 that everything changed for the studios with the release of The Little Mermaid. This sparked probably the best known era of Disney, the Disney Renaissance.
I want to be where the people are. I want to see, them dancing, walking around on those, what do you call them? Oh, feet.
Next up, Mugwump Flats.
Did we lose anyone back there?
Miss Bianca Trump, from now on, can't we just take the train?
Ah, Belle.
Good morning. I've come to return the book I borrowed.
Finished already?
Oh, I couldn't put it down. Have you got anything new?
Not since yesterday.
You don't want to go for a ride, do you? We could get out of the palace, see the world.
Is it safe?
Sure. Do you trust me?
What? Whoa! Ah! How did you...
Wow!
Where did you come from?
It's great to see you!
Oh, hey! It's great to see
what's
you!
What's going on here?
What are you doing here?
What do you mean, what am I doing here? What are you doing here?
Hey! What's going on here?
You have the most unusual names here. Chickahominy. Queergahonic. Pocahontas.
Oh, man! I thought he'd never leave. I'll be spitting feathers for a week.
Well, that's what you get for sleeping with your mouth open.
Go scare a nun. Hey, Quasi, what's going on out there? A fight? A flogging?
A festival.
You mean the Feast of Fools?
Uh-huh.
All right, all right. Pour the wine and cut the cheese.
It is a treat to watch the colorful pageantry of the simple peasant folk.
So, did they give you a name along with all those rippling pectorals?
Are you always this articulate?
Hercules. My name is Hercules.
Hercules? I think I prefer Wonder Boy.
I've heard a great deal about you, Fa Mulan. You stole your father's armor, ran away from home, impersonated a soldier, deceived your commanding officer, dishonored the Chinese army, destroyed my palace, and... you have saved us all.
Tarzan. Tarzan.
Tarzan.
The Disney Renaissance marks a return to a richer animation, the fairy tale format, tighter narratives, and a huge emphasis on songs as opposed to just scores. I'm 24, I was born at the end of 1995, so these are the films that I most associate with my childhood. The Disney Renaissance lasted from 1989 with the release of The Little Mermaid to Tarzan in 1999. In between, we have The Rescuers Down Under in 1990, Beauty and the Beast in 1991, Aladdin in 1992, The Lion King in 1994, Pocahontas, my personal favourite, in 1995, The Hunchback of Notre Dame in 1996, Hercules in 1997, and Mulan in 1998. Oh, that's a lot of films. These films put more effort into character development, particularly through song, and it is the songwriters and composers Alan Menken and Howard Ashman that we have to thank for some of the most memorable Disney songs. Alan Menken is thankfully still around and working, but Howard Ashman unfortunately passed away in 1991 from AIDS, without ever seeing the release of his beloved baby, Beauty and the Beast. Howard's contribution to the Disney Renaissance cannot be understated, and if you want to know more about him, Disney Plus have recently released a documentary about him. Highly, highly recommend checking it out, but prepare to have tissues at the ready. The Disney Renaissance was unbelievably successful, which unfortunately means that it's difficult not to compare the films that came after. These films are part of the post-Renaissance era, roughly spanning from 2000 to 2009. These films aren't bad, but they are not as good.
Mr. Stokowski? Mr. Stokowski! Just wanted to offer my congratulations, sir.
Congratulations to you, Mickey.
Ah, gee, thanks. Well, I gotta run now. So long!
Some things start out big, and some things start out small, very small. But sometimes the smallest thing can make the biggest changes of all.
Don't tell me, we're about to go over a huge waterfall.
Yep.
Sharp rocks at the bottom?
Most likely.
Bring it on.
We've all heard of a legend of Atlantis. Continent somewhere in the mid-Atlantic that was home to an advanced civilization possessing technology far beyond our own, that according to our friend Plato here was suddenly struck by some cataclysmic event that sank it beneath the sea.
Oh Hannah.
Huh?
Hey, get away from her.
No, what did you say?
Oh Hannah means
family. Family means nobody
gets left behind.
Or forgotten.
And what do you see off that bow of yours?
A future.
Look at you, glowing like a solar fire. You're something special, Jim. You're going to rattle the stars, you are.
One thing always changes into another. But the greatest change I ever saw was that of my brother. A boy who desperately wanted to be a man.
More the cruelest thing I do. You see, I'm your little landlord. The sweetest way of rustling the empty bags.
The sky is falling! The sky is falling!
The sky is falling!
Are you crazy?
Go show them how special you are. Oh, I hope this is it. I hope he gets adopted.
You and me both, Chief.
If I don't chase bad guys, then what am I? I mean, what?
Don't worry about it. Being a regular dog is like the greatest gig in the world, okay?
I gotta make sure all Daddy's hard work means something.
Tiana, your daddy may not have gotten the place he always wanted, but he had something better. He had love.
Excuse my unprofessionalism, but the post-Renaissance era of Disney gets a lot of shite. I've seen it referred to as the millennial era, usually in a very piss-taking way, the experimental era, and even the second dark age, which I think is a bit far. The films included in this era are the year 2000 films Fantasia 2000, Dinosaur and The Emperor's New Groove, Atlantis The Lost Empire in 2001, Lilo and Stitch and Treasure Planet in 2002, Brother Bear in 2003, Home on the Range, that's an interesting one, in 2004, Chicken Little in 2005, Meet the Robinsons 2007, Bolt in 2008, and Princess and the Frog in 2009. These films are by no means bad. Many of them moved away from the fairy tale format and covered slightly more mature and grown-up stories, like the likes of Atlantis and Treasure Planet, or they were completely original stories, like Lilo and Stitch. Calling this era the Disney Dark Age seems far too harsh, but you have to remember that they came after the absolute groundbreaking success of the Renaissance era. In a company as old as the Walt Disney Studios, it's only natural that it will have its highs, its lows, and its lulls. Finally, this brings us to the era that we are currently in, the modern age, otherwise known as the revival era.
This is the story of how I died.
Well, don't worry, this is actually a very fun story, and the truth is, it isn't even mine. This is the story of a girl named Rapunzel.
Deep in the 100-acre wood where Christopher Robin plays, you'll find the enchanted neighborhood of Christopher's childhood days.
My name's Ralph, and I'm a bad guy. Let's see. I'm 9 feet tall. I weigh 643 pounds. Got a little bit of a temper on me.
Hey, you moved my stump!
My passion bubbles very near the surface, I guess.
Yeah, I bet she's the nicest, gentlest, warmest person ever.
Oh, look at that. I've been impaled.
Hello, I am Baymax, your personal healthcare companion. I was alerted to the need for medical attention when you said, ow. A robotic nurse.
Flash is the fastest guy in there. You need something done, he's on it.
I hope so. We are really fighting the clock and every minute counts. Wait. They're all sloths?
I have crossed the horizon to find you.
Not on my mind, not on.
My turn. I got one.
Great, but can you make it a little more challenging this time?
Okay, check this out. I spy with my little eye something yellow and round, and it eats dots.
Seriously, Ralph?
Yeah.
Your Majesty, they're ready.
Excuse me. I'm coming. Do you hear that?
What?
Never mind.
This era spans from 2010 to pretty much right this second. This is an era defined by its move away from traditional 2D animation to 3D animation, similar to Pixar. It's funny looking back on the success of Pixar now in retrospect, because back when it was first founded, the Disney bosses and shareholders did not have faith in it and thought it would fail very quickly. The pioneer of Pixar, John Lasseter, who, if I get my facts right, is very significant in the main Disney studios now, I think he oversees most of the films being produced right now, he was actually fired by Disney before starting Pixar. Anyway. What we have in the year we currently find ourselves in is Tangled in 2010, Winnie the Pooh in 2011, Wreck-It Ralph in 2012, Frozen in 2013, Big Hero 6 in 2014, Zootopia and Moana in 2016, Ralph Breaks the Internet in 2018, and the latest release, Frozen 2, in 2019. This era is trying to recapture the magic of the Renaissance era while embracing modern 3D technology. Tangled combined the fairy tale format and brought back Renaissance era songwriter Alan Menken and combined it with the new technology used in the likes of Chicken Little and Bolt. Tangled cost $260 million to make, but it earned $592 million at the box office, practically erasing The Princess and the Frog from the map. This signaled to Disney that audiences were hungry for the original Disney magic, but with a modern approach. Alright, and that's us. We've covered the Disney eras. There's the Golden Age, the Wartime Era, the Silver Age, the Dark Age. Argue about a Bronze Age if you wish. The Renaissance Era, the Post-Renaissance Era, and the Modern Revival Era. Thank you so, so much for listening. I hope you learned a lot and are excited to embark upon this Disney journey with us over the coming months. If you wish to support the show, please follow us on our social media platforms. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, The Works. Follow us on Spotify and iTunes and leave a wee review if you can. It really helps us. We love reading your feedback. We really love reading your feedback and it helps us move up in the iTunes charts. If you can, you can also support us on Patreon. Thanks, guys. Bye.
This has been We Need to Talk About Movies. Thanks for listening. For more information, visit banterflix.com. See you next time.